Listen to the Israel Connection on JA Community Radio in Melbourne, Australia, every Wednesday from 4 till 5 p.m, repeated Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m. My name is David Schulberg, and for the past 7 years, I have been bringing you a probing weekly radio program that provides analysis and insight with important interviews and discussion about Israel.
Welcome and a big hello to J-Air listeners in Melbourne. We are live from London every Sunday morning with the London Beat. Warren Wills presenting for you the London Beat. Chat and arts all coming to you live from London.
London Beat.
I'm Lily Steiner and I would love you to become a member of J-Air. Love that you're listening, but join up and encourage your friends to join too. It's only $54 a year, and it helps us keep the station on the air. You can join on our website, www.j-air.com.au.
You are listening to J-Air, 88 FM.
You are tuned into the Havel radio station everyone loves.
J-Air 88 FM.
On air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and online at j-air.com.au.
Greetings, greetings, dear listeners, and here we are on a Sunday morning in Melbourne. And yes, we're rocking on midway through March, and summer is in fact coming to an end. You are, of course, listening this week to Warren Wills, your broadcaster, to take you through the next hour here on J-Air 88 FM. This is, of course, the London Beat, and it's a great privilege and pleasure to be here with you and have a very humbling experience. A huge, huge call out and thank you over there to Gillingham in Kent, to the tireless, indefatigable, indomitable work of the great J.B. Jordan Brown, the man himself, all-round producer, composer, bass player, and the list goes on. A huge call out to all our other friends over there in London, UK, of course, the fabulous human activist himself, Mr. John Farndon, Ms. Janie D, Mr. Adrian Silas, and a coterie of other fine, glorious, friends in London, and a huge call out here to our friends who were sensational in the concert just gone last week. There's a concert coming up now on March the 28th. Indeed, that is Thursday, March 28th, Legends Remembered. And we'll be looking at Leonard Bernstein, and we'll be looking at Stephen Sondheim. We'll be looking at a whole heap of others, including, of course, the much-loved, much-missed Mr. Burt Bacharach himself. Now, and while I'm there, a huge call-out to our fabulous Chinese friends, and that's the Tong Ji, Melbourne alumni, who were sensational and have something even more incredible coming at the next concert on Thursday, March 28, 7 o'clock at the Amar Ballroom, featuring the glorious, the wonderful, the mighty, yes, the magnificent Chinese flautist herself, Ms. Stephanie Chen. Look out for her. But this particular theme of this show is a Spanish, inspired by a posting I saw about Garcia Lorca, Federico Garcia Lorca, who just completely embodied and captured Spain when I was living over there about 10 years ago. And as an Andalusian himself, down from southern Spain, we're talking about, Granada, Sevilla. We're talking about what's commonly known today as the Costa del Crime, of course. And as you go from Malaga all the way around to Valencia, Almuñeca, and I certainly miss my days in Spain, and the music you hear today all has imbued with a Spanish flavour, inspired by Spain, inspired by Garcia Lorca, the great Garcia Lorca, who unfortunately came to us, very sad and sticky end. Shot dead, assassinated, many believe, by the Catholic Church. He was gay. He was certainly a provocateur. It was during the rise of fascism, of course. And if you remember, Spain was one of the last bastions of fascism to fall long after the defeat all over Europe of fascism during the Second World War. Franco lingered on ruthlessly to power into the early 1970s. I think it was about 1973. Someone can pick me up, let me know the exact dates. But yes, we'll be hearing a lot of Spanish music. And of course, I'm minded of the time of the fabulous Esteban Antonio. Google search Esteban Antonio and Hashem. 14 million hits for the most extraordinary guitar, Hashem, H-A-S-H-E-M. And he dreamt the whole thing. He went ahead and he composed it as such. I'd also like to do a huge call-out for reconnecting with the fabulous Miss Shirley Davis, who I know very fondly and lovingly from my earliest stint here in Australia. She now resides in Madrid, the capital of, yes, of Castillas, unlike Barcelona, the capital of Catalan. And a huge call-out over there, of course, to Antonio Torres, just the most sensational
bass baritone, the most beautiful voice,
bass baritone Antonio Torres, who is the zarzuela and the Spanish opera king, also based in Madrid. And indeed, it's an aim of mine to put the two glorious souls together for what should be a riveting situation over there. But listen, it's great to have the pleasure of your company. And yes, I was living in Antequera, which, to those who don't know, is equidistant, really, between Malaga, Granada and Sevilla, Seville. And Antequera is the longest continually inhabited part of Spain. It has the most eateries per capita. It has a whole host of fantastic, absolutely beautiful Baroque churches, which is a very particular design all of itself, and it dates back to the megalithic period. You're certainly getting some art today. You're getting a bit of culture over there. But yes, and we have a number of offerings from the area, as I say, inspired by Mr. García Lorca. Lots of great things going on. I know there's a ton of negative things, and do you know what? I can't dwell on it. It'll just depress us. Don't tell me about all the conflicts going on and all the damage to the planet, all the rest of it. We all have to, in our own small, inimitable and unique way, make positive contributions to do the best we can to bring about some kind of positive change to what's going on. I note with some contentment, I guess, the Oscars have come and gone. Things which went pretty much as expected. Though I did think that the Best Actress Gong would have gone to the, I think it's Lily Gladstone, who was the lead in Killers of the Flower Moon, a film which I haven't seen, which promises and offers much, and is starring Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio. Everything else went Oppenheimer's way, which is fairly understandable. And congratulations to Oppenheimer and the whole team who were involved with that. It looks like a pretty sure thing. Other honourable mentions, I must point out, a very dear friend of mine who is doing the Game of Thrones. It's in workshop stage at the moment, but the producers of Game of Thrones were the producers of Zone of Interest, and they picked up an Oscar for that particular fine effort. I noticed that Barbie... Listen, Barbie did so well at the box office that it brought bums back on seats after COVID. And I've got to say, Ryan Gosling's performance at the Oscars was sublime, sensational. What a talent that man is, as is Bradley Cooper, as is Robert Downey. we are blessed with some pretty amazing talents at the moment. But yes, listen, before we do go ahead and do anything else, I must point out, I went to an event this week. And it was to do with the conflict that is going on in the Middle East. And it was pretty sobering, to say the least. And you hear all the different people that are suffering. And this is what's important at a ground level. I know there's all kinds of political machinations, what the Israelis are doing and what the Saudis could or couldn't be doing and what the Iranians could or couldn't be doing and who could solve this and who can pay for that. At a very grassroots level, So many people who have no desire whatsoever to be involved in a conflict are suffering, or worse, and that is where the attention must go. And I was, again, very inspired watching an acceptance speech by Robert De Niro today for his Lifetime Achievement Award on SAG, the Screen Actors Guild in America. And he was talking about human rights and women's reproductive rights and sensible gun control laws and basically people having common sense, as I keep repeating. If common sense was common, by God, everybody would have it, would they not? But, the Oscars came and went, and that's the end of the gong season. So many other things are going to be happening as we get into our Easter and Passover spiritual season. But listen, we're going to pause for some music. Welcome to the show. As I say, it is Sunday morning here in Melbourne, 9 a.m, which means 10 p.m. over there in Blighty in London. But of course, clocks will change very soon, and from being 11 hours ahead of London will be 9. It's all going to go into reverse soon. Yes, we're going to pause for some music. You are listening to this week's edition of the Beat. A huge warm welcome back to all of our listeners for this week's edition of the London Beat here in Melbourne on a Sunday morning, but referencing as that first tune was certainly Indicula from Spanish Masters by yours truly, Mr. Warren Wills. And a huge call out to JB again, JB Jordan Brown, doing all the heavy lifting of the show in Gillingham in Kent in England. Certainly doing a fine job. And at least taking accountability for it, because as I see, with the rise of AI, artificial intelligence, things are happening of their own accord. In fact, I thanked my sister very much for this fantastic photographic audio book that she sent me for the last 20 years of photographic images that we had shared together. And she said, no, I didn't do that. AI did that without even telling me. It put it together, sent it to me, and sent it to you. And I'm thinking, goodness me, can you imagine the day, and I'm sure it's not far away, where court cases will go on and nobody will take any responsibility, accountability, and it will be the fault of AI. I'm sure that day is not long in the making ahead of us. And notice Australia has played cricket in New Zealand and had the most fantastic backs-to-the-wall victory, which I certainly didn't see coming much earlier in the week. And thanks to Carey and Mitch Marsh and Captain Cummins, and no one saw that one coming. A fabulous victory. Ramadan is here. Ramadan, they said, oh yes, all sorts of things were going to happen before Ramadan, but the only thing that I can see in practical terms, programming, is that the cricket in Pakistan starts late because they can't start until the sunset, something to that effect. But listen, we welcome Ramadan. We welcome all peoples, and the only way we're going to get any solutions to any of these problems seriously is that we share. We share our fondness and love of all religions, whoever it may be. And yes, I must point out as well, I know I keep harking on about the concert coming up on Thursday, March the 28th. It will be great. Get yourself there. The fabulous Vered Harrell will be singing. The fabulous Stephanie Chen will be playing the flute. Romy Gehrman will be on the violins. The fabulous Young World Choir, who are just sensational. It really is the face of social inclusion. They do a sterling and stoic job. They will be there, as will With One Voice, a new choir that we're taking, and certainly are rising in their ranks. It's something to look forward to. It's the fabulous Amar Ballroom, which is at 226 Kooyong Road in sunny Toorak. 226 Kooyong Road, Toorak, 7 o'clock, Thursday, March 28th. This time, Legends Remembered, we will be serving up a feast of celebratory music to honour the great Lenny Bernstein, who has now been immortalised by Brad Cooper, and, of course, the film that was up for a bunch of Oscars and got nout, which was, of course, Maestro. But that, of course, is Lenny Bernstein. Stephen Sondheim will be featured. I've got a bit of a worm in my head at the moment concerning Not a Day Goes By, Not a Single Day, etc., etc. We'll be doing that. We'll be honouring, as I mentioned before, Mr. Burt Bacharach. That's all rather exciting. A huge Burt Bacharach medley. One thing I do want to point out, here's something for you. This is a bit weird. Now, I'm not a conspiracist and I'm not a spiritualist per se, but at the concert, when we went into our little bit where we were doing a tribute to my much-missed dear friend in absentia now, who passed away, I went to the Celestial Writers Guild some month ago, Mr. Frank Howson. When we did a particular tribute in his honour and to, honour his memory, his legacy, Mr. Bobby Bryce, some of you might remember from Bobby and Laurie in the late 60s. Well, he sang a song from Chopper called If I Should Die Tonight, or rather prophetic writing by Mr. Frank Howson. And up until that point, the grand piano was behaving beautifully. It was a lovely concert. And as soon as I mentioned Frank and we got to that section, an entire octave from the A above middle C for an octave simply stopped working. It was like someone put coins in the piano, buzzing in it, had to put sheets in it, and I sort of waved a finger. I said, Frank, that's very mischievous, but nice to know that you're present at the concert to honour you. And here's the other weird thing. As soon as we had finished that section, the piano had reverted immediately back to its earlier glory, with no hint of the impairment that happens during the Frank tribute. Go figure. I cannot offer you any rational or wonderful explanation about that, but how weird. I'm also wondering, whilst I get to weird, Julian Assange had an appeal, a final throw of the dice in London, I believe at the Old Bailey. It was an appeals thing to stop his extradition going across to the States after 10 years incarcerated, God knows. How come we've heard nothing, absolutely nothing about it? Perhaps it's me, perhaps it's my imagination. I don't know. But we're still on the subject of Spain and all things Spanish. Olive groves, horses in Cardiff. Yeah, you've got it. The sun, I suppose. Yes, the sun. however you look at it, you cannot get away from the fact we're talking here García Lorca, who is probably the most famous writer, Spanish writer after Cervantes, who was, I suppose, the equivalent of Shakespeare. García Lorca, did you know that apart from being a the writing son of Andalusia, the literary giant, he was also a composer of music. And Esteban Antonio, a dear friend of mine indeed, has got recordings. In fact, I've got them now. They're on cassette. And they're the actual recordings of García Lorca playing piano compositions that he performed and what he wrote himself, which is all pretty exciting. Anyway, all things themed and more Spanish. This is, again, from Spanish Masters. Sit back, enjoy. You are, of course, listening to this week's edition of the London Beat. Thank you.
And huge greetings to all of our dear friends tonight. Talking about Yentl, it's currently on at the Malthouse Theatre. It's a play, it's a conception of the great Yiddish writer Yitzhak Bashevis Singer, and who sort of worked with a lot of legend that they've maintained in the piece, the Golem, the White Face, which is kind of a creation in so much of contemporary theatre. Of course, when you say Yentl to most people, of course, many people think Barbara Streisand, they think the musical, and they think, Baba, can I hear you? Well, of course, this is not that particular case, and I am indeed minded of the original Dickens, and of dark and brooding Oliver, in which the fence, that is Fagin, actually gets hanged at the end of the piece, as opposed to the cheerful and chirpy Lionel Bart's rendition, where at the end they sing, I'm beginning to review the situation. Much can be said that it's a similar parallel going on here with Yentl. It's a four-hander, but really it's our kind of androgynous, slightly devilish kind of a narrator figure who carries, does the heavy lifting theatrically, and again festooned in the white face and with demonic laughter and a lot of very, as I say, old school references to the Golem and or to the white face and more old traditional schools of of quite artistic conceptual purveying of a story. She takes the heavy lifting. We then have the relationship of our two principal men, in inverted commas, which of course is the questionable behaviour of the Streisand character, who calls herself Angela in order to maintain her studies through the yeshiva, which are denied to women, obviously, in those days. In the days of Estethel, I say that, they're denied to women across the board. You've only got to look at what's been happening in Iran and Afghanistan and in the southern states of America in the past 3 years to see that women are back to being chattels and property. So we get a lot of that, and there's sort of the challenging of the virtue of those sort of rights going on. And we get a situation whereby her study partner, of course, ends up finding himself in very confusing situations. The fourth person we have is, I suppose, the one genuine female love interest in it. And as the story unfolds with the various tragedies unfurling, it's amazing how much scandal and gossip and drama can actually befall a tiny community in a Estethel. I say all of this, and again, there were no songs. And I've got to say this, and I will say this up front, it has received incredible reviews, and one can only wonder whether the terrible rise in anti-Semitism since October 7th has in any way contributed to the fact that our audiences are deciding to stay away from the Estethel, containing a beehive of social melodrama going on in the Jewish community, where it's because and related to the incidents that happened on October the 7th. Far be it for me to make accusations about the good concerning Australia theatre going public, allowing their prejudices to determine what and they will and will not see, but there we have it. Now, further to that, I do have to mention about the fact the music that is underscoring is divine, and the setting in this kind of abstract courtyard, which is outside and could be in moving into any kind of building or any home, into the yeshiva, into the shop, anything, I think is rather effective. The music is good, the lighting is good. Folks, listen. You can't have air conditioning sub-zero. We're not going to go into a situation where we all have ice baths, yeah? We're in the middle of summer. We do like to go and dress as we want. It is a little bit too chilly. But nonetheless, I get it, although being slightly, well, that's probably my own fault, I guess, misled and misdirected to what I was expecting initially. But it is a four-hander. The liberal sprinkling of Yiddish, is it necessary to the story? Listen, the story is imbued with that kind of the old school Estethel Jewish tradition. We get the klezmer music and we get the whole Ashkenazi routine going on. Is it particularly necessary to have the Yiddish? It's not. And if you are going to have the Yiddish, can I just point out, please, focus on when you do have the surtitles, which are essential to people like myself, whose eyes they're not the best, but I would say I'm of an age group of a particular theatre-going audience. You might find you want to make sure that it is in focus. Nonetheless, in terms of the direction, the execution of the piece, well done for all. It is it's a story to be told, and it has a particular poignancy and resonance today. When again, women who do want to take on the virtues of study, one only has to look at once the Taliban returns. The rights of women seem to be now a thing of yesteryear. You are, of course, this is this week's edition of the London Beat.
And sadly, dear listeners, all good things must come to an end, and indeed, inevitably, this week's edition of the London Beat is no exception. And thanking everyone who was involved in this week's production of the show. Huge thank you. And yes, honouring España, Viva España. And you know what? Looking back on the role of Esteban Antonio, Antonio Torres, Pedro Alamandre, also who used to run the Malaga Foundation. Sending much love, certainly to Antonio and to Pedro. Dear Esteban, who was like a wayward brother to me, as like Frank House, very close, writing partner, is no more. And went on his website and just filled with great fondness, great love. I'm sure we all have missing friends, but there we are. Do you know, by the time, and here's one for you, by the time this goes out, I'll have met a 21-year-old blind composer pianist named Francesca, who apparently is amazing. And certainly we're doing a piece about blind Tom Wiggins, born a slave, was black, was blind. Talk about having a little bit of a handicap to deal with. And yes, and presumably next week I can report back how that all went. The Paris Olympics are almost upon us. The Commonwealth Games in Australia, since then, Andrew said, bleh, cancelled. We've heard not an awful lot more since then. It appears that there is a likelihood that the Young World Choir doing excerpts of Ya Mo, the Thai heroine, what saved Thailand in 1826, don't you know it? Yes, indeed. And we did excerpts from that show, Ya Mo, at our concert. Intergenerationally, we had two fantastic young performers, age 13, Miss Amika and Miss Gal Harrell, who were sensational. And yes, listen, tell me, sir, is David Cameron the new Prime Minister of Great Britain? You see so much more of David Cameron giving his 10 pennies worth than you do the other guy, Richie Sunak. Maybe because Sunak's so unpopular. But David Cameron, wasn't he the guy that took Britain into a referendum that then forced them out of the EU? I believe so. Anyway, there you go. We've had our smattering of Spain. I've invited you all to come down on March 28th, Thursday, 7 o'clock. Indeed, at the Amar Ballroom, 226 Kuyong Road, Toorak. It will be Legends Remembered. It'll be a fantastic show. We've got some tickets there. And for those who are, and many are, heading off to London for the summer, which will soon be upon us post-Easter, I made a little list for you. These are the buildings, my favourite ones, that you should go and see. It doesn't mean they're everybody's favourites. I would recommend them to. Go and see the Shard. Go and see what's happening in Somerset House. You must go and have coffee downstairs on the old crypt and the stones opposite Trafalgar Square at St. Martin's Church in the Field. You go to the V&A, my absolute, down there in Kensington, the Victorian Albert Museum, my absolute all-time favourite museum. It is fantastic. Go and see a concert at the Albert Hall. Now, it came about the same time, the Royal Concert, Prince Albert's, returned back from travels in Russia and decided he had to turn London into a hub. And yes, a whole series of building projects went ahead, but certainly as a result, the Royal Albert Hall was one and the Victoria and Albert Museum. Go to the St. James Church in Green Park. There's free concerts on at lunchtime and fantastic fairs on during the week. Spitalfields, get yourself down to Spitalfields Church. What a strange looking thing. And Spitalfields Market. And while you're over there, get yourself to Brick Lane. Why? Because it's interesting. And the Columbia Road in the East End. Know what I mean, in the East End. See a show at the Drury Lane Theatre. Make sure you get down to Greenwich. The Maritime, Meantime, the Observatories, the Science, the Cutty Sark. Get a boat ride there along the Thames. And they'll fill you in on all the history as you go past the Globe and stuff like that. You followed all that, you got that, you were taking notes, I don't think you were. Buildings, places, things to do when you're in London, according to Mr. Warren Wills of the London Beat. Go and see the Shard, Somerset House, St. Martin's Church next to the Trafalgar Square, Victorian Albert Museum and the Albert Hall, which are both in Kensington, St. James Church, which is in Green Park, between Green Park and Piccadilly Circus Tubes, Spitalfields Market, Brick Lane and Columbia Road, all in the East End, now on Main. You can get there pretty easily from Liverpool Street Station, Drury Lane Theatre in Covent Garden, and yes, go and get a ferry road riding down the Thames River down to Greenwich. See the Cutty Sark, and it's otherworldly. It's fantastic down there. You'll pass the Globe, which is another extraordinary thing. It has been a great pleasure having your company. We've done nothing but talk art and music today, and
We're trying to remain positive in turbulent and troubled times, sending you much love. This is a farewell from Warren Wills, 88 FM JR, and this week's edition of the London Beat.
בכף ידי כמו העולם אמצא סיבה להתגלגל היום הבא לא השחור יבלע אותי אלף צבעים בגעתי גם אם ערוץ אל המרחק מה שהיה
Give me space days, cringe days, sleepy days.
They did not sit here waiting to die. They were in it, trying to push through, trying to save people.
It makes me feel good to see that it wasn't all for nothing, that people are alive because of them.
We are very proud of him. I would have been so happy to have him back, but he did what he had to do. Looking at the walls, you can see there was a fierce battle. For hours, they fought with determination, and I say this with my experience as a combat officer. They did not roll over.
If not for them, the terrorists would have come in here and killed us all. They saved us every step of the way.
I'm only here because of them. We would have been masqueraded.
They save us.
People say there was no fight here, when in fact, there were four fighters that protected everything.
This broadcast is brought to you by Israel Bonds, the most direct and impactful way to support Israel. Invest now at israelbonds.com.
Our beloved region was 95% heaven before that fateful day. Then, in one piercing moment, horror and darkness took over our lives. But Jewish National Fund, USA, were here with us from day one, helping us to collect our pieces together. We choose life and we will continue always to choose life together.
This broadcast is brought to you by Israel Bonds, the most direct and impactful way to support Israel. Invest now at israelbonds.com.